The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 12, Text Number 4, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 30th, 2012, in Riga, Latvia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sanakam cha sanandam cha Sanatanam Ata Atmabhu Sanat Kumaram Cha Munin Niskriyan Urdaretasa Sanakamsha Sanandamsha Sanatanam Atmabhu Sanat Kumaram Cha Munin Nishkriyan Urdaretasa Sanakam Cha Sanandam Cha Sanatanam Matatmabhu Sanat Kumaram Cha Munin Nishkriyan Urdaretasa Sanakam Sanaka Cha Also Sanandam Sananda Cha And Sanatanam Sanatana Atta Thereafter, Atmabhu, Brahma, who is self-born,
Brahma, kurš ir pašpiecīns,
Sanat Kumaram, Sanat Kumara, Cha, also, Munin, the great sages,
Dīžanē gudrē,
Nishkriyan, free from all fruitive action.
Brīvi no visām auglīgām darbībām.
Urdvadretasa, those whose semen flows upwards.
Tie, kuru sēkla plūst augšup.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning, Brahma created four great sages named Sanaka, Sananda, Sanatana, and Sanat Kumara. All of them were unwilling to adopt materialistic activities because they were highly elevated due to their semens flowing upwards. Purport. Although Brahma created the principle of nescience as a matter of necessity, for those living entities who were destined to ignorance by the will of the Lord, he was not satisfied in performing such a thankless task. He therefore created four principles of knowledge: Sankhya, or empirical philosophy, for the analytical study of material conditions; Yoga, or mysticism, for liberation of the pure soul from material bondage; Vairagya, the acceptance of complete detachment from material enjoyment in life in order to elevate one to the highest spiritual understanding; and tapas, or the various kinds of voluntary austerities performed for spiritual perfection. Brahma created the four great sages, Sanaka, Sananda, Sanatana, and Sanat, to entrust them with the four principles of spiritual advancement, and they inaugurated their own spiritual party or sampradaya, known as the Kumara Sampradaya, or later on as the Nimbarka Sampradaya, for the advancement of bhakti. All of these great sages became great devotees, for without devotional service to the personality of Godhead, one cannot achieve success in any activity of spiritual value.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Padakamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtatya Deshatarine.
So Brahma wasn't feeling very good about creating all this nescience. He wanted to give some way out of this nescience. So he created the four principles of knowledge, along with the four great sages who were the representatives of these principles of knowledge. It is significant to note, by Prabhupada's last sentence in the purport, even these principles, if there is no bhakti, they cannot liberate one. Whether you practice Sankhya, Yoga, Vairagya, or Tapas, if the element of bhakti is not present in these fourth atoms, one will not be successful. In other words, the essence is bhakti. It's also significant to note in this verse the term urdhva retasa. Retasa means samana, and urdhva means upwards. What is this idea of semen which goes upwards? Actually, the present-day society thinks the more your semen goes downwards, then you're successful. Semen downwards means passing semina, you see. Semen upwards means by not passing semina, by retraining it, then it naturally flows upwards and nourishes the brain. Therefore, the Vedic culture is based on the principle of brahmachari. Brahmachari means urdhva-drita, semana rising to the brain.
Brahmachari nozīmē sēkla, kas plūst uz augšu.
As I have many times explained, In our Vedic culture, we have five kinds of brahmacharis. We have brahmachari. Brahmacharini brahmacharis. Grihastha brahmacharis. Vanaprastha brahmacharis. And sannyas brahmacharis. So, especially for the male, this is a very important principle. Because if he wastes his semana by passing it indiscriminately for some so-called pleasure, he decreases his duration of life. He makes himself subject to untimely death. He makes himself more susceptible to disease of the body. And he makes himself more susceptible to becoming a senile old man, a dumb, stupid old man. Just like they say in English, an old coon. Coon is a nickname, you know, they call an old man an old coon. Yeah. Some dumb old spaced out guy in him. So, the Vedic culture is very, very nice culture. Because it teaches one from the very beginning to become brahmachari. At the age of 5, the young boy, he goes to live in the Gurukul. The ashram of the spiritual master. He is trained never to see a woman as an object of sex enjoyment. He addresses every woman as mother. And Prabhupada personally instructed me like this. Every woman addressed as mother. You see? I do not know why in our movement some people are trying to change this principle. The lady should not be called mother. There is a great danger if we change this Vedic principle. If we don't see the ladies as mother, we will see them as objects of sense pleasure. So we should not give up this principle of seeing the ladies as mother. So the boy, he spends 20 years as brahmachari living in the ashram of Guru Maharaj. And then at the age of 25, he has a choice. You can remain as a brahmachari. Or if you feel an inclination, you can get married. But you see, he's been trained as a brahmachari for 20 years, strictly trained as a brahmachari. Therefore, he enters household life in the mood of brahmachari, you see. That he only has sex life for procreation. Srila Prabhupada instructed us, this is our principle for our householders in this kind. To only have sex life for procreation. He explained that once in a month, the husband and wife want to have child, and they've gotten blessings from the spiritual master to have a child. Then once in a month, on the most fertile time, after the lady's menstrual cycle, after the husband and wife have both chanted 50 rounds of japa, then they can try to have child, you see. I remember, I've told this story many times, but I remember when I was a brahmachari in Miami. One house owner approached me. He was very happy. He wanted to share a wonderful story with me. His wife was standing there also. He said, last night my wife and I, we chanted 50 rounds because we wanted to have a child following Prabhupada's instructions. But after we chanted the 50 rounds, we were so enlivened by chanting Hare Krishna. We decided, let's wait till next month before we have sex. So what does this mean? It means Hare Krishna is better than sex. So it's not artificial renunciation for us, you see, to practice brahmachari life, you see. Because brahmachari is sweeter than sex. So this is one of the insider secrets of Krishna consciousness. They're simply going after sex, 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 sex. Every billboard, every magazine, every movie, sex, 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 sex. I remember when I was a kid growing up in America, there was a toothpaste called Ultra Bright toothpaste. And the commercial said, new Ultra Bright toothpaste gives your mouth sex appeal. So the whole culture, this Western culture, is simply geared towards sex, 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 sex. Prabhupada said the position of the sex, that how nasty it is. The position of sex, that how nasty it is.
I understand every word, but I can't understand the whole sentence.
This is Prabhupada's English, poetic English.
Okay.
He literally said, the position of the sex, that how nasty it is. In other words, sex is very nasty. That's its position. It's just like when you pass urine, it's a dirty thing. You pass stool, it's a dirty thing. Pangas sama is also a dirty thing, you see. But for having a child, it becomes blessed, it becomes transcendental. If one tries to have a child according to the Vedic injunctions, and that is, Krishna says, I am that sex, you see. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text number 11, the 7:11 verse. Kamasmi bharatarshaba. I am that sex, you see. Which is according to religious principles. So that sex is divine. And we applaud those householders who follow this principle and produce saintly children. One time in our Dallas community, there was some discussion about who is more successful in making devotees.
Dallasas draudzē reiz bija diskusija par to, kas ir sekmīgākais bhakto.
The brahmacharis and the sannyasis, they're preaching to make devotees.
Gan brahmacharī, gan sannyasī, viņi sludina, lai padarīt cilvēkus par bhaktām.
And the householders are propagating to make devotees.
Bet ģimenes cilvēki, viņi rada šos bhaktas.
So our GBC man, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said the householders are winning. By sex life, they're making more devotees than the brahmacharis and the sannyasis are by preaching.
Jo ar savu seksu dzīvi viņi rada vairāk bhaktas nekā brahmacārī un sannyasī ar savu sludināšanu.
So that sex life is glorious sex life, is it?
Un tātad šī šāda seksuālā dzīve ir cildena.
In fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he said he was a strict brahmachari his whole life. He never passed semina in his whole life, you see. Naishtika brahmachari.
Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, viņš bija naishtika brahmachari, viņš nekad savā dzīvē, viņam nebija sēklu noplūdus.
He said, if I could produce Krishna conscious children, I am prepared to have sex life 100 times.
Un viņš teica, ja ir nepieciešams radīt bērnus Krišņas apziņā, es esmu gatavs to darīt 100 reizes.
So anyway, this principle of Urdhva-Raitva is a very important principle in Vedic culture.
Un tā vai savādāk, bet šis te princips ir ārkārtīgi svarīgs vediskajā kultūrā.
Because by retaining that samana, one gets very, very good brain for understanding Vedic wisdom.
Tāpēc, ka saglabājot sēklu, cilvēks iegūst ļoti, ļoti labas saprāts, smadzenes, lai saprastu vedisko gudrību.
In the Vedic culture, the brahmacharis, they were called Shruti Dhar.
Un vediskajā kultūrā brahmacharī...
They were called Shruti Dhar.
Viņi sauca Shruti Dhar.
Because they could, anything they heard one time, they could perfectly retain it.
Tāpēc, ka jebko, viņi vienreiz dzirdēju, viņi varēja to saglabāt, atcerēties.
A brahmachari could hear 18,000 verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam and he could perfectly retain every single syllable of all 18,000 verses just by one hearing.
Brahmachari vienreiz, patiesi brahmachari vienreiz dzirdot Srimad Bhagavatam 18,000 pantus, spēj atkārtot katru zilbi no tiem.
That's a real brahmachari.
Tas ir īsts brahmachari.
We're Kali Yuga brahmacharis, but we're struggling. What can we do, you know?
Kali Yuga brahmacharis.
We saw this Shruti Dhar also in Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya. And there was one conquering pandit, his name was Keshava Kashmiri. He was going all over India and defeating everyone by debate. Just like now they have the Olympics, is it? It's a big thing to see who gets the gold medal, you know. So in those days, the sporting was not physical, it was intellectual sporting.
Tajā laikā sacensība notika nevis fiziskajā līmenī, bet intelektuālajā.
And whoever won the debate, they didn't get a gold medal, those people became disciples of that person, you see.
Un tie, kas uzvarēja, tie, kas zaudēja, tie kļuva par uzvarētāju skolniekiem.
So this Keshava Kashmiri, he was a big, big devotee of Mother Sarasvati, the goddess of learning.
Šis Keshava Kashmiris, viņš pielūdza Sarasvati zināšanu dievi.
And he was very, very powerful in debate. No one could defeat him.
Un viņš bija ļoti varens diskusijās, un viens nevarēja viņu uzvarēt.
At that time, Navadvip was like the Oxford of India.
Un tajā laikā Navadvip bija tā kā Indijas Oxford.
It was the seat of higher learning.
Tajā vietā pulcējās visi mācītie cilvēki.
So Keshava Kashmiri was coming to defeat the Navadvip pandits.
Keshava Kashmiri ieradās, lai satriekt Navadvipas pandits.
And they were scared.
Viņi bija nobijušies.
So they all found excuses to leave town that weekend.
Un tajā nedēļas nogalē viņi atrada dažādas iemeslas.
And they left one of their young pandits to debate with Keshava Kashmiri.
they found?
But he left one of their young pandits. A mere boy. His name was Nimai Pandit. He was Lord Chaitanya. So, they were having some discussion on the bank of the sacred river Ganges. And Keshava Kashmiri, to show off his great Sanskrit erudition, he spontaneously composed 100 verses of Sanskrit poetry just off the top of his head. Just spontaneously, 100 verses of Sanskrit poetry glorifying Mother Ganga. So the young Nimai Pandit, he heard very nicely. He said, "But my dear Panditji, I have noted in the 64th verse a literary discrepancy." The Pandit was amazed. He is able to retain all of these verses I have so cited, and he has picked up a discrepancy in the 64th verse. Keshava Kashmiri was shocked. So Nimai Pandit says, "Yes, you have stated Bhavani Bhartu." The husband of the wife of Lord Shiva. Which is a literary fault called repetition. Redundancy. Because why say the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva? Why not just say Lord Shiva? This is redundancy. You're unnecessarily wordy. The husband of the wife of Lord Shiva.
The husband of the
wife of Lord Shiva.
He's not husband of the husband.
The husband of the wife.
Husband of the wife of Lord Shiva.
No, Lord Shiva's wife has a husband.
Okay. I don't think about it. Off, two times off. Off on off.
It's like if you say, it's like myself and my wife, for example. Yeah. If you say the husband of Vishnupriya Mataji, the husband of Sankarshan Prabhu's wife. So in this way, the husband of Sankarshan Prabhu's wife. So it's called redundancy. You should just say Sankarshan Prabhu. You shouldn't say the husband of Sankarshan Prabhu's wife. So in this way, Keshava Kashmiri was shocked. How could I make such a mistake? This young boy has defeated me. He couldn't understand. He prayed to Mother Saraswati that night. What is going on? How could I be defeated? And she revealed to him, this is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, Keshava Kashmiri, he joined Lord Chaitanya's movement, you see. So this is Gauranga's very good example of Shruti Dharma, you see.
Brahmachari.
He can hear 100 verses of Sanskrit poetry, and he can perfectly pick one of those verses and find and analyze Vani Bhartu, the husband of the wife of Lord Shiva, is a literary fault called redundancy. So this is the value of Urdhva Reta. I'm not discharging samana for so-called pleasure. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
Скажите, пожалуйста, можно ли научиться чему-то, не приняв какую-нибудь инициацию, то есть, ну вот, не поступив в университет, можно ли чему-то научиться?
Вы можете кого-то иемацитесь, не снимать инициацию, а лицик вы можете кого-то иемацитесь, не иестройтесь университете.
The question is, can one learn something without enrolling in university? In this case, or can one learn something without accepting, without getting initiated?
Can you learn something without being initiated?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sometimes.
You can learn what is necessary to get initiated. Next question. Does that answer your question? Okay, next question.
Что нам можно научиться от этой игры с Кешава Кашмири?
Ко мы можем мацитес на шейс спелес от Кешава Кашмири?
What can we learn from this pastime with Кешава Кашмири?
That's an interesting question. What can we learn from this pastime of Кешава Кашмири? Surrender to Lord Chaitanya. Isn't it? That's what he did. That's his example. He surrendered to Gauranga. So we should also surrender to Gauranga. That is the topmost lesson, surrender to Krishna. Next question. Yes.
My question is not related to today's subject matter, but okay. It disturbs my mind, so I'm asking it.
All right.
Every time when you visit Riga, there are talks about that the garlands made for you are nicer than the garlands made for Prabhupada. So how to deal with that?
Make nicer garlands for Prabhupada.
Yeah, but your disciples are not responsible for making garlands for Prabhupada. So,
well, what I suggest is my disciples then should also make garlands for Prabhupada when I'm here. And that way there'll be no problem. It's extra work, I know. It's double garlands. But actually it's true. It's pretty embarrassing for me to have a better garland than Prabhupada. That's a fact. So the only practical solution that I can see is my disciples should also make garlands for Prabhupada when I'm here.
But what about those who are responsible for making garlands for Prabhupada? Shouldn't it be a proper way to learn from those who are more advanced how to make garlands and not to blame those who are more advanced? So learn from them and not to blame for making nicer garlands.
Yeah, that's true. They should learn to make better garlands for Prabhupada. That's a fact.
But if they work together.
But the bottom line is, if I'm sitting here with a nicer garland than Prabhupada has, it's not good. That's the bottom line. And If they can't do it, then my disciples should do it. That's my understanding. If the local devotees can't make nice garlands like this for Prabhupada, then my disciples should do it. Just teach them by example so that they can learn and come to a higher standard by seeing someone who's doing it. I mean, it is awkward. I thought of it, today I was thinking, man, this garland is nicer than Prabhupada's garland. It's actually not proper. Because Prabhupada should have, I should have not something better than Prabhupada has. That's not proper. So if the devotees here are not able to make a nice garland like this, then my disciples should make a nice garland for Prabhupada every morning when I'm here. I know it's double work, it's double expense for my disciples, but I'm asking so that I will not be committing offense to Prabhupada, that my disciples can kindly do this.
Я там тебе пару здесь скажем пару пару зерновидность изготовлен ее как махарадж говорит, что когда те бхактис, которые носятся зерновидность изготовлен Прабхупадам, не могут приготовить детям ладу зерновидность, то это что к моим школьникам, моим старшим слайкам, я готовил зерновидность.
Anything else?
They are complaining that they should make nicer instead of complaining.
I agree with you, but if they won't do it, or they can't do it, or they're not able to do it.
Complaining is not valid. They should.
I agree with you, but the bottom line is, I don't want to have a better girl than Prabhupada. That's the bottom line. If they don't do it, or they won't do it, or they can't do it, they should do it, but if they don't, then I don't want to be in this position. It's better to give this garland to Prabhupada and let me have the inferior garland they made.
That's why I brought it to you.
Yeah, it's better to do the other way around. If my disciples are not able to make two garlands, and the nicest garland should be given to Prabhupada, and the first class garland should be for Prabhupada, and the second class should be for me. That solves the problem right there. Ideally, there should be two nice garlands. I mean, this is a nice garland, but it's just not this. It's not on this standard. It's not bad what they're doing. It's just my disciples are just going all out, and because their spiritual master is here, they're super enlivened, and they're making a nicer garland. What can I say? They are making a nicer garland. The reality is, when your spiritual master is physically present, there's an extra enlivenment you get from them. Even though Prabhupada is fully here in the Murti, it's hard for us to realize them. If Prabhupada is physically here, I guarantee you they'd be making much nicer garlands than what they're making. That's the reality. That's how it works. That's why we take initiation from a living guru. That physical presence helps us to get off the spaced out platform of sense gratification. I don't follow.
The morning garland is not made by your disciples.
This was not made from my disciples?
No.
Oh, where did it come from? The temple devotees made this. Oh, then this is definitely an offense then. This is an aparad. Yeah. This is a Prabhupada aparad that I did. Really, I'm. Yeah. I apologize to the devotees. Any comments I made, because the local devotees, I sincerely, humbly beg forgiveness from the local devotees if they made this garland and for Prabhupada. And I'm very sorry about this confusion. I'll make sure tomorrow that I don't make this commit this offense tomorrow. Yes. Accepting a garland nicer than Prabhupada.
That was made for you, and that was made for Prabhupada.
Oh, it was.
That's how they made it.
Oh, I'm confused now. Oh, the temple devotees made this one for me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And they made that one for Prabhupada.
Oh, okay. So the temple devotees are expert garland makers. That's great. This is my offense then. You devotees didn't make any offense. I'm the offender here. It's my offense. And I beg forgiveness from the assembled Vaishnavas. I beg forgiveness from Prabhupada. That both garlands, they made this garland for me. I should have humbly said, oh, this should be for Prabhupada. This is my offense. I'm the one who offered this to Prabhupada this morning. I'm really in double trouble now. See. I accepted this garland. I was the one who gave Prabhupada that garland. I'm in double trouble. A double aparad.
You accepted it later. You have offered it 1 hour before you accepted this one.
But this garland was also here. Both garlands were here at that time. And I offered Prabhupada that. See, the thing is, this was I'm a little innocent because it was in the basket, which is what we're normal. This is a garland. The normal system here is Prabhupada's garland is in the basket. So I just, you know, so okay, I just followed the system here. Whatever garland's in the basket, you offer to Prabhupada. That's the system. But I should have not been in a, what's it called? I should not have been a basket case devotee. I was a basket case because I blindly took what was in the basket. You see? I should have been intelligent to not just be like rules and regulations, man. I should look and see. Well, this one in the basket is not as nice as the one they say for me, so they should be switched. That's what I should have done.
You may switch it, but then there will be another complaint.
Huh?
That will be another complaint then.
I don't know if they would complain. Better to have people complain that you switch the garland. I'd rather have people find fault with me for switching the garland than to give Prabhupada the second class garland. So this is a very embarrassing lesson for me. I have to always look and see, you know, not blindly follow what's in the basket. I have to see, wait, the one's in the basket, the one that's set aside for me, which one is nicer? And if the Maya is nicer, then I should switch them.
Man mācība ir tagad tāda, tad, kad ir izrādās šīs divas ziedvītnes, man jāskatās, kura tad ir paredzēta man, kuru Prabhupāda mums jāiet tā, lai Prabhupāda saņem labāko.
Ha?
When you are visiting a temple, aren't you supposed to follow the authorities?
Yes, but not blindly.
But then you should talk with the authorities.
And you're supposed to follow the local system, but not blindly. That's the point. I mean, I should have had... But that, you know what happened, Hrishikesh Prabhu? They had two garlands. They had one in the basket set for Prabhupada. They had another one they'd made, which is over here on the bench, for me. But the one in the basket was second-class garland, and the one made for me was a first-class garland. So I blindly just took the one in the basket and offered to Prabhupada. And now you can see I've gotten a much nicer garland than Prabhupada, which is an embarrassment for me, and it's like an apparat against Prabhupada. But I shouldn't blindly just take what's in the basket. If the one outside said for me is nicer than the one for Prabhupada, then I should switch them. You see? That's my realization now, this embarrassing pastime. That I have here I'm sitting here with a nicer garland than Prabhupada. The temple devotees made both of the garlands. One for me and one for Prabhupada. They made a nicer one for me than they did for Prabhupada. So it's a good lesson. I have to literally be careful what's in the basket. Is it the same caliber as the one that's out of the basket? If not, I have to switch them. But all glories to the garland makers. Thank you very much. So we're a little over time because this issue came up, and we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Is great. Sriman Sankarsan Dasati Kari Maharaj Ki.